is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What's up, H-Town? It's one of those days where I just don't feel like yelling. And I really want to know how you guys are feeling, because yesterday was one of those days, unfortunately, where a negative thing happened and you started to remember where you were when you got the news that Kobe Bryant passed away along with his daughter, Gianna, in a tragic helicopter accident yesterday. I've been trying to just kind of, I'm not one of those guys that's going to write a long eulogy or anything like that, but there's just so many thoughts yesterday into today that were crossing my mind, and I look forward to us almost as therapy being able to talk about this. Nick, I heard you coming in, but without further ado, it is The Suspects. It's Barry, Nick, and myself, and we are here for the next 3 hours, but that's just kind of initially. It was tough yesterday, man. It's weird. For me, the whole thing was so surreal. Now, granted, I married a woman from Southern California, and her family are all diehard Laker fans. So I get that. And I had to break it to her. I was there when she broke it to her brother, who is just the biggest Laker fan on the planet. But as I was processing everything yesterday, here's a guy that throughout my NBA career working, I despised. I despised him, and I wanted to, and I really didn't appreciate him till after he was no longer playing, because at that point you knew he wasn't going to break your heart one more time. But then he did, because he broke your heart by passing away the way he did. But when I looked at it, I kept saying to myself, here's a guy that single-handedly, every time he played your team, you hated because he was better than your best player. And even when he had a team that sucked, he gave his team a chance, a very good chance, to beat your team, even if they were favored by double digits, because that's how good he was. I saw it happen. I saw it year after year, team after team I worked for, where I can remember at Toyota Center, where the Rockets had a 20-point lead basically heading into the fourth quarter, and he didn't have a very good team. And he flat-out single-handedly brought him back and won the game, and he enjoyed the hell out of it. And it's just part of the legacy that's Kobe Bryant. But the thing that bothers me most now being a father is I watched the relationship with his daughter. I saw the clips. You saw what he and heard about all the things he was doing. And it just it really hit me hard.
There's so much to unpack here.
There is.
And I can tell it bothered you.
Yeah, it really
but
did.
But I wasn't a Kobe Bryant fan like I was a Michael Jordan fan, because I grew up on Michael Jordan. So I think my reaction personally probably would have been different had it been Michael Jordan. I'll be honest with you, when I found out about it, somebody sent me a link to breaking911.com or something like that.
I saw you say you needed a better source.
And I was like, bro, I'm going to need a better source, because this happens all the time where you hear about these sensational celebrity deaths just because people want to get clicks. And so when he sent me that, I was like, nah, I'm going to need a better source than that. And he said, well, how about TMZ? And I was like, what? So I quickly Googled it and couldn't believe that it was real. And I think, for me, I'm not a guy that, unless I know you, but I'm not begrudging people that are emotional about it, but I'm not as upset as some people. Like, some people were diehard, lifelong Kobe fans.
Yeah.
And so I totally get that. But it's surreal, because guys like Kobe Bryant, this isn't supposed to happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost, guys like Kobe Bryant are almost fictional. And at the level that they are, right? Guys like Michael Jordan and Kobe, and we're watching LeBron play, so it's a little, but there's certain people in this world that you feel like are almost untouchable. And Kobe was one of those guys. So for it to happen to him, it's surreal. And what makes it real and what makes it sad is that he had a wife and kids and a kid with him. And he was going to his adult, his daughter's basketball game. Those are the things that I think make it so emotional and so sad and so personal and real. Because like you said, you have daughters.
Yep.
And he had a daughter. And you know, you put yourself in that position, and it's just so tragic and so sad that my heart breaks for his wife. My heart breaks for his kids. It's just, man, it's a horrible, horrible day for sports.
Yeah, I mean, I've been really looking forward to what you guys had to say. As you may have heard, we had a last-minute switch up on the Charlie Polillo show, so I gave my thoughts. And I've been really wanting to hear what Joel has to say, you have to say, Barry. Obviously, you know, Joel, you being with the Houston Rockets for 23 years, you have a lot that you could share.
Yeah.
But I'll say it again. I said it a couple hours ago on the Charlie Polillo show. The impact that Kobe Bryant still had, that still could have made if he was still alive after retirement. The fact that he could still train players and impact the game and impact young players. I didn't realize how many friends he had. I felt like his the cocky attitude that he had made him less likable among other players. But there's still obviously a massive community within the NBA that absolutely loves and adores Kobe Bryant.
I like your point because I was thinking about that on the way in because I was trying to think, what am I going to say? How am I going to say what I feel? Like I said, I'm not emotional about it. I'm sad, but I'm sad for his wife and kids that survived. I'm sad for the sports community. I'm sad for the people that really knew him, that genuinely knew Kobe as a friend, as a family member, or whatever. But one of the things I thought about was, isn't it funny how something like this can completely change your outlook of a person? Because while he was here and everything is okay, you're like, yeah, I hated that dude.
Sure.
Oh, he was such a jerk to people and this and that. And then when it happens, you if you have a heart at all, if you have any level of humanity within you, you realize that that hate was just about sports and not legitimate and not real. And this that is- you don't know him as a person. And I think to your point, as he got older, he's 41. He was 41. He matured, and the Kobe on the court, the Kobe that wanted to win at all costs and be the best and be better than Jordan and everybody else, was a jerk.
He had to be.
But
he
41-year-old Kobe as a businessman and a father and a friend to young stars was a completely different human being.
Sure. He alienated himself intentionally because he knew, unlike today's overly friendly NBA where everybody's bro-hugging on every play, he knew because he patterned himself after Michael. He wanted to be that assassin. And they said, look, if you weren't on his team, he hated you. He didn't want to talk to you. You know, all the stories you're hearing about Trey Young say, I mean, Vince Carter or someone was saying, Jay Williams was saying, he showed up at the gym because he knew that Kobe showed up every night 4 hours before a game. Mm-hmm. So he did it too. But the problem was when he was done doing his routine, Kobe was still out there. And then before the game, he kept watching the monitor, and Kobe was still out there. And so he looked at him, and he's like, this dude has overdone it. There's no way he can play tonight and play at a high level. And he went for like 30 or 40. And after the game, Jay Williams said, I had to go ask him. And he goes, you know why I did it? Because you were out there. And he goes, and I was going to send the message early to a new buck in the league. You ain't getting it. You're not going to put in more work than me. You're not going to be better than me. And that was part of what made him so great. But that's why, Nick, to your point, the second chapter was so different, and everybody loved it because he now humanized himself. He was enjoying life. He was loving coaching his daughter and spending time with his kids and doing all these things that he didn't get a chance to do when he had to be so hyper-focused all the time. And now all of a sudden, you know, he's gone. And he didn't have a chance to really enjoy life and reap the benefits of all that he did while he was a player to set himself, his family up, and everybody for the second chapter. And honestly, guys, the one thing that I don't think crosses your mind as much as it did mine was the final seconds on that helicopter.
Oh, no, I thought about that.
I did, too.
I couldn't imagine having to go through that. I couldn't imagine what him and his daughter
like,
and
are the you people just in saying that helicopter at this point, went through. Screw it, I'm not even fastening my seatbelt. I'm wrapping my arms as tight as I can around my daughter and just telling her. Or, you know, are you trying to tell her it was you're going to be okay even when you know you're not? It's just for me, that was the biggest gut-wrenching part of it, to see the videos and to know when they're sitting courtside how much joy he felt in the fact that she loved the game that he loved so dearly.
Yeah. In fact, Brent, He came over this morning. He's the guy that works for Jameson Custom Homes and Pools. We're looking mm-hmm. to get the pool done. And he came over, and he's a listener. Shout out to Brent. But we were talking about it, and he's got two daughters, and he was talking about it. And I think if you have kids, that's, you know, I don't have kids, but I can't imagine what it would be like. And you think about that. You think about your last seconds on this planet is with your daughter, and how much fear must be in her mind and his mind. And regret and whatever else that, you know, whatever else emotions you go through in those last few seconds at that moment. And that to me is what pulls at my heartstrings the most. I mean, the loss is sad, and the way that he was lost is tragic with his daughter and everyone else on board. But to think about those final moments.
Are you apologizing to all the other people on the helicopter because they were your guests?
I would be surprised because I don't think there was that much time. I mean, you're talking about a matter of seconds, not
minutes.
They
said it was actually on the rise trying to make a high turn.
So you're literally talking about a matter of 15
seconds.
And
the stats they were saying was 45 miles an hour on the way.
At 4,000 feet per second.
Yeah.
That's
so. So you're talking about 5 seconds to go, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, this is, it's. That, but I did think about that, and I don't even have kids, and I can't imagine if I had a daughter or daughters or kids in general, how much different this would be for me.
And I realize this is Houston, so I realize it's different, but it's not, because his impact was so deeply entrenched in so many cities, not just NBA cities, but cities around the world, and globally, how many people he touched, and you could see by all the tributes and all the people that have said and done things. But some of the things that we were talking about leading into the show, how eerie it was to hear LeBron's post game after he passed Kobe Saturday night in Kobe's hometown of Philadelphia. To hear his Dear Basketball short film that won him the Oscar, and to hear him narrate Dear Basketball and what it meant to him, and how he had to give it up. And you realize that, and just how it applies to everything now, and it's just crazy. So
yeah. Now look, and I just want to say, I want to hear from the suspects. I want you guys call in, text. Some of the texts that we're already getting extremely long, and I want to read these, but I just don't know. I would prefer if you guys would just call. If you just have a short little something you want to say, you know, somebody texted and said we lost a great one, and I agree. And you know, but if you got a really long, just call, and we'll take your calls. Yeah. If you want to get it off your chest, if you just want to talk about Kobe or whatever, please feel free to do so. 713-780-3776. Just know that we won't be reading really long texts today.
Yeah, and it can be therapeutic for everybody involved. But look, everybody's got memories, and everybody knows what he meant, positive or negatively. But this was one of those deals where, like I said, you're going to remember where you were when this new story broke.
Yeah, although somebody likened it to JFK, and I thought,
I think Jay Williams did that, and I don't think he was even alive for that. But yeah, I didn't get that one as much.
To me, it's a bit different.
Yeah.
You know, there's a segment of our population that doesn't relate to sports, but everybody, you know, JFK was everybody's president.
Sure.
I think that's a little bit different, but I get it. You're trying to, it's difficult in times like this to find the right words.
No question.
And it affects everyone differently. So for him, it might have been his JFK. Right. I know a buddy of mine, Zach Dixon, who's a comedian and lives in San Antonio. He put Kobe was our Princess Diana, or like, this is our Princess Diana. Like when she passed, for so many people, it was devastating. I didn't understand it because I wasn't like infatuated with Princess Diana or the royal family or any stuff like that. But that doesn't mean it's not OK for them to feel like that.
But interesting, Barry, because you and I are a little older. So MJ was our guy.
Yeah.
But for the millennials, but we always kid about millennials. But for the younger crowd, and especially this younger generation of NBA and otherwise, Kobe was their MJ.
Yeah.
Kobe was their guy.
Right.
So that's why I tweeted, and I had people pushing back at me yesterday, the NBA shouldn't have played those games yesterday. And they're like, but Kobe would have wanted him to play. I said, but this was not about Kobe. This is about whether directly or indirectly, he touched so many of those players in such a way that just dealing and talking to my friends that were at some of those games last night, and they said, you could have heard a pin drop in the locker room. You could have seen guys that are normally so hyped to get up for a game, not speaking to a soul and just trying to get a grasp on their own feelings of how do I go on? How am I going to play this game? What am I going to do?
I think out of respect for one of the all-time greats of the game, I think the right thing to do would have been to postpone the games.
I agree.
And just not even necessarily for the players, because I get it. And, you know, had if Kobe had his idols, and had somebody passed, I think Kobe would have went out and played in his honor.
Sure.
And so I do think Kobe would have wanted it. But you know what? It's about respect for him. It's about respect for the man. And it's about respect for a guy that meant so much to your sport. I think I would have been okay. And I think most players and fans would have been okay with taking the day off.
I think they would have respect too. I really believe that. So yeah. Let us know what you think. As Barry said, 713-780-3776. Call if you got a little longer one. Text if you've got some thoughts. Always reach us on Twitter at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at The Producer Nick. Obviously a very somber day on The Usual Suspects as we get it going. And by the way, there's lots of Rockets connections. There's lots of Houston connections and everything.
And like I said, so much other stuff to unpack around this.
Yes.
I have so many notes about so many other topics related to COVID.
And I'm sure you do too. And by the way, he named his top five of all time in the NBA, and it involves a Rocket and has nothing to do with being the greatest at your position of all time. We'll get to some of that as well. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
My daughter Gianna, she loves to play, so her and I will go out and shoot often. She has it all mapped out in her head already. You know, things change when you're kids, obviously, but she's like, I'm going to go to high school, I'm going to win state championships, and then I'm going to go to University of UConn, and I'm going to play for Geno. She has her Husky shirts, and she does not take those things off.
Just talking to him, and just, you know, I remember asking him, was he ready to retire? He's like, he's ready. You know, and I was like, how are you going to handle it? You know, after 20 years of doing something, you know, how do you handle it? He's like, I'll be okay. He's ready, and he said he's going to figure out. move forward to when we had a conversation in New Jersey after the game. Kind of revert back to that conversation, and I was like, "How is it?" He's like, "He was the happiest he's been," and you know, getting the opportunity to see his kids, his girls grow up, helping his daughter figure out the game. And understanding how he understood it. And you can see that in her game at a young age.
That was Kobe talking about his daughter, and then Vince Carter talking about Kobe as he headed into the second chapter of his life. And I think to a man, everybody you talked to yesterday that knew him and saw him after he had finished his final season had said the same thing. He was genuinely happy.
Yeah.
And
it appeared that way.
And one of the things that keeps kind of resonating with me too is here's a guy that was hammered as being one of the first kids to come out of high school, go right to the pros. And everybody thought this was this young, brash kid that said he was going to be better than Michael Jordan and that he didn't know and he wasn't smart enough. You talk about a guy that never got a college degree, that's smarter, more intelligent, and a deeper thinker than a ton of people that got a degree and a master's and so much more, spoke three languages, just had intellect and philosophical ways of looking at everything, including the game and all the advice. I was saying this to some of the video guys before we came in here and said, just every little snippet you hear on the internet about advice he gave to players and different things he said. And it's just like, you didn't go, come on, man. Or you didn't say, you just everything kind of just brought you in even more to say, God, this guy was so smart, so beyond his years, so just had a firm grasp on life.
It's funny because everything I've heard so far, every person that I've heard talk that knew him, not just on the, you know, on the edge or, you know, acquaintances or whatever, mm-hmm. which, by the way, there are a ton of people just on my timeline on Facebook that act like they were best friends with Kobe. And it's like, come on, like one person was like, oh, and I'm not going to say what city, but it's not Houston. But they were like, every time he was in town, he would come by my restaurant and tell me how much he loved me and loved my restaurant. I'm like, this isn't about you.
It's not.
This is about Kobe. Stop making this about you. And I realized people grieve in different ways, but it was like, come on, man. You weren't best friends with Kobe, so relax right. a little bit. But every person that knew him talked about the same thing. They talked about his drive and his desire and his work ethic. More than anything else, you weren't going to outwork Kobe. Like, you were talking about the 4 hours in the gym. That was every day, yeah. all day. And it, you look at a guy like that, and then, like, you know, like us, we all have our own things, and we think we're grinding to get where we want to get. You don't know grinding, because what Kobe did was grinding. You never saw the work he put in to be great.
And here's the thing. So he came in from high school in Lower Merion, and he came into the NBA breaking these brass statements he was going to be greater than MJ. So everybody already was resentful because they knew who MJ was. But then along the way, we started to put, and when I first got into broadcasting, we would put side-by-sides because I worked with guys that were around MJ in Chicago that would say, he's copying MJ to the point of his speech pattern. The way he licks his lips and makes smacks his lips between comments. The way the staccato of his talk. The way the gait of his walk. The way he did everything that he did. And we would go side-by-side and go, oh, there's boom. And people would rip him for it. But you know what he did? He took it a step further to what to your point in terms of workouts. He wanted to be Michael, so guess who he hired? He hired Tim Grover, Michael's longtime trainer. The day after he scored 60-some points at the Garden and set the record while everybody else was sleeping and he left it all on the floor, he and Tim Grover were up at 4:45 in the morning because he said, no one else is doing this. Mm-hmm. And he had to do what was necessary to keep that edge.
That's the amazing thing is I don't know anyone. And I know a lot of people that are really grinding in radio and TV and comedy and everything else. No one grinds like that. There are about 10 people on this planet that probably commit like that. And I'm exaggerating on 10 people. I get it. But it's so rare. And that, to me, more than anything else, is what defines his greatness. If he was willing to go score 60 and then be up at 4:45, like he was a nobody trying to make it and – it's just amazing, man. I have so much respect for a guy like that because there are guys in the NBA that don't do that because they don't have to. But then there are guys like that where he didn't have to, but he did.
And here's the thing, too. You know, he talked about with the Michael comparisons, but even being the greatest Laker of all time, the running comments in L.A. from anybody that covered the team was Magic's going to always say it's Kobe. Kobe's going to always say it's Magic because both are too humble to say they both should have the title or could have the title. Mm-hmm. But with the whole Michael thing, because it was such his focus that I saw the other day, Andy Scholes used to be one of the ball boys for the Rockets. He's Bob Slovak's son, and now he's on CNN. And he interviewed him 10 or 11 days ago.
Oh, I did see that.
As part of it, he wanted to say get his comments on. So now the big deal is you and Shaq could beat LeBron and AD. And he goes, I don't do hypotheticals. I don't like hypotheticals because you know why? Because you can't take a guy like Bill Russell in his era and tell me that you can savor and save and capture him in his top moments and then have him play that way against Anthony Davis or so on and so forth. And you know why he was really saying it? Because of the fact that it chapped his ass with his competitive fire every time people said, who's the greatest of all time, Michael or LeBron? Yeah. And you and I, when we were talking about this months ago, I go, I'm just surprised Kobe doesn't get more run. Because when you look at his overall resume, 5 championships, an MVP, finals MVPs, and then all of his scoring, the scoring and everything else, the fact that he wasn't in those discussions ticked him off to no end. And he just wasn't going to let it show. He just had ways of subtly making points around it.
Yeah.
Because there was also the story where, I guess, Michael said he was like a big brother, but Michael used to also try and poke the bear. And one of the things Michael would always do is he would bring out the names of guys he thought were the greatest in the game, and he would intentionally omit Kobe. And then Kobe would come out and say, you know what? I love Michael. Michael Jackson is a great dude, and I'm so glad that I can look up to him, because he knew that pissed him off.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That shows you how much of a competitor MJ is, too.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Yeah.
MJ's same way.
Yep.
Same drive, same thing.
Yep.
Same
You're
exact
right.
thing.
Yeah, he, as much as people laughed at him for trying to go over the top to imitate and emulate Michael Jordan, he had it in more ways than one. All right, we'll continue to roll on. That's just the first half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN.
97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Kobe, thank you, man. Thank you for all the memories. Dude, we got a lot of good ones. And these tears that we're crying, we're going to miss you. And it's not going to go. It's not leaving today. A week from now, a month from now, a year from now, we forever, forever miss you, man. You're our legend. You're our icon. You're our father. You're our husband. Your son, your brother. Your friend. Thank you for being my friend. I love you.
That was Dwayne Wade as he posted on social media yesterday. I remember just the tenacity when we talk about what it means to be a true competitor. I remember the All-Star game where D-Wade and LeBron and Kobe got into it. And it was kind of like Kobe swan song, but he also still wanted to take it to the younger guys. And they went back and forth. And I want to say one of them either broke their nose or got needed some kind of needed medical attention, but they were not, it wasn't a friendly All-Star game. It was, we're still boys, but I am not backing down. And it was so fun to watch on an otherwise fluffy kind of, you know, All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just the fire that was in his belly at all times.
Yeah, for sure.
So you guys want to get in here, and we've got a ton of text too. Yeah. As well. But our good friend of the show, White Magic, wants to chime in on Kobe. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? I just wanted to say, Kobe, thank you. Thank you for showing us what hard work, dedication, and mastery to your craft is. Whatever your craft may be, you showed us how to work hard and have dedication and master that craft. And thank you for all the years, man. I appreciate it. I won't lie. I shed a tear or two yesterday. One of my heroes growing up. Rest in peace, man.
Appreciate you, White Magic.
Good stuff, Mike.
You know, he was a hero to a lot of people. And
no
when
doubt.
You lose your heroes, it can be very emotional. I didn't really get emotional until, and I ain't going to lie, I felt like somebody was chopping onions in the living room a little bit when on SportsCenter they showed one of his friends. She plays for Oregon.
Yeah.
Or Oregon State.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he's gotten to be great friends with the leading scorer from Oregon.
And that, for some reason, of all the things that I saw, they showed Oregon State and Oregon players, female basketball, all in a circle at center court holding hands, and she was crying, and it just, whew, boy, that one got me a little bit. I was like, oh, okay, that was pretty emotional for me. But I get it. I get why White Magic was upset and sad. And this, he was a hero to so many. He was a hero to a generation of basketball fans. I mean, you know, like you said, he was our Jordan. Because coming up, I remember, you know, when we would play, me and my buddies Jim, Jimmy George and Jeff Leach, and we played Nerf basketball all summer long. We would go to Jimmy's house, Jeff's house, or my house, but always everyone had a Nerf hoop. And what was the one thing we would yell when we would shoot?
Yeah.
Jordan. And this generation do the same thing, and but they yell Kobe. That's how important he was to people. Like, there was some text that we got, or people that when you shoot, you know, just throwing trash in the trash can.
That's right.
We yelled Jordan.
Yes.
The next generation yelled Kobe, and now people yell LeBron. And it next thing, you know, who we don't know who they're going to be yelling next, but he's that level of importance to people that he's just – He's woven into the fabric of sports for some people so much so that it's just heartbreaking when you lose it.
And you know, Sabrina Ionescu is the leading scorer from Oregon, and somehow, some way, he got to be friends with her. And then she started working out with his girls groups at the Mamba Academy that he created in California. Mm-hmm. And then he went to some Oregon games because obviously with the connection to Nike being so close and everything like that too, he was able to get to some of those games. And she basically normally has this whole routine pregame and everything. Like, she came out like minutes before the tip off and everybody was wondering if she was even going to play. She played, she scored 19 points, they won the game. But even after the game, she just said, I can't say anything more than I'm dedicating the whole season to him. But, you know, there's so many things that are personal. But I think the one thing that I'll go back to, too, and there's some idiots out there. And there's a lot of people that piss me off trying to capitalize.
Well, I don't want to get to them yet.
Okay, but okay.
Because I want to give, you know, we have Magic. I want to read these texts. Because okay. We need a whole segment on that. Because right, there's several of these people.
And I wasn't going to point out the actual things that had happened. What I was going to say is one of the other reasons why, whether you hated him when he played your team or not, but that you appreciated him, especially after he retired and all the things he did, was because he was human.
Mm-hmm.
He proved that he wasn't a superhero and he was invincible and he never did anything wrong. Like, you know, a lot of people would say LeBron never did anything wrong. But, you know, you look at Kobe and we know he had a few missteps, but you know what he did? He learned from them. And he tried to be a better person after he, like we were saying, after those things. And then while he was in his second chapter of his life, trying to be out of basketball, what he did as a father, mm-hmm. what he did for all these different charitable groups. So I think he was humanized enough that people were drawn to that.
Saints Patrick said, I could not imagine my child being that scared and me not being able to do anything about it. Kobe died twice yesterday. What I remember the most about Kobe was I was always upset I'd have to pay ridiculous prices to go to the game and telling myself, well, you better put on a show if I go. And sure enough, he pulled through every single time and put on a show. I've tweeted this at Joel this morning, but Josh in Beaumont said, I think that the All-Star game should be teams of 24s versus 8s.
He tweeted me this morning. I didn't have time to get back to him.
I think that's a great idea.
Phenomenal idea.
I really should.
And someone said
the West should be
24s,
the East should be 8s.
And someone, as a follow-up to that, also said, and then on the first two possessions, one gets an 8-second violation in the backcourt, and one gets a 24.
I also saw people saying that the West, that his number should, because, you know, hats off to Mark Cuban and the Dallas Mavericks, first team to come out and just retire the number 24. But somebody said, well, maybe retire 24 in the West for all the Western Conference teams.
That's all league-wide,
too. And 8 in the East, though. So you would have his number retired in two different, you know, in the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference, two different numbers. I also thought that to be interesting. And I think there's 1,000 ways to do this. But more text. I feel bad for players having to play through that yesterday. Kyrie was really close with him and couldn't even play, had to leave the arena. Rest in peace to a legend. It was crazy how distraught people were on ESPN, like Jay Williams. Hold your loved ones tight. And it did affect a lot. Ramona Shelburne. Very upset.
She
covered
was.
Him. Covered
well,
him
she was
a
Lakers
lot.
Beat writer. But did you hear Jay Williams? And they just shook it. They just went by. He has some great stories too, and some great perspective on it. Because remember, Kobe was going to go to Duke,
mm-hmm.
and so he was there while he was trying to get in the league and make something a name for himself. While Kobe was there too, but one of the things he said was, whether you loved him, you hated him, or you had any other different opinions of him, when you look at him and you look at what happened and what he was doing with his family. And the fact that he was gone so soon, he's like, there's those friends that are on your crap list right now. He's like, there's those relatives that you're not talking to. You might have something with your significant other. And this is where he just basically said it, and he dropped the S-bomb. And he goes, bury that S right now. He goes, you bury that because it's not even close to important as what this brings to attention. And he goes, I'm sorry, I cussed. And they went, you know what? It's fine. It's cable and it's good.
Well, it went live and then they didn't take it out of the segment other than the fact that the next time they replayed that segment, they just censored it. But,
yeah, but
they weren't
live,
upset
they were,
about
yeah.
it or anything like that.
Yeah.
He was emotional, man.
Yeah. He really was.
And we'll get more of your texts. And if you want to call, 713-780-3776. Like I said, I get the emotion from guys like White Magic. If Kobe was your hero and you just want to say it, call and say it. That's fine.
No doubt. That's what today's for. And like you said, we'll dedicate a segment to some of the people that just are the biggest a-holes on the planet.
Boy, and there are several of them.
Yep. And I think we all have got a couple of different examples. So we'll continue to roll on as we remember Kobe Bryant and a life cut short, gone too soon at 41, and Gianna, his daughter, at 13 amongst the 9. And please, let's also remember to remember all the victims and their families as they were all on that helicopter and everybody's lives that knew them were changed forever. So we'll continue to roll on. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
You don't have to know who these people are because you're making... Well, Kobe Bryant said on this very show, I asked him if there's one guy he'd want, who would it be? And he said it was you. And you were a Lakers fan as a kid.
Coming from Kobe, man, that's an honor. You know, I just go out there and try to compete at a high level, I mean, every night. And it's coming from him, one of the best to ever do it. I mean, it means a lot to me.
That was your very own James Harden talking on Jimmy Kimmel about Kobe, saying that from an offensive perspective, the guy that he thinks most like him would be James Harden. And I mentioned it, why I thought the game should have been canceled yesterday, and because, yeah, Kobe would have wanted him to play, but he touched so many guys directly and indirectly, and some of the ones that he touched directly had the hardest time. Everybody knew Kyrie Irving and Kobe had a relationship. After Kyrie hit the shot for the Cavaliers to win the title, he so desperately wanted Kobe to be a part of it that he FaceTimed him in the locker room right after the game so that he could be a part of the celebration to thank him. But the guys from California, from Southern California, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan, now Kyrie didn't play yesterday, and everybody gets that. DeMar DeRozan was one of those guys that could not get himself together and take the court initially, but then decided to play. Harden was already out with a thigh injury, but we haven't heard from those guys yet. Chris Paul's another one that had a direct connection with Kobe Bryant, and you're going to find out in the next couple of days just how impactful and meaningful Kobe was to so many of today's stars. As you were talking about, and we had said, he was this generation's Michael. And LeBron, we haven't heard from LeBron yet. Mm-hmm. And when you saw LeBron, the crazy thing was, and we'll get to a lot of that too, but the Lakers were in flight when the helicopter went down. They had to let the Lakers know through the pilots during the flight. And when they landed, they had video of LeBron getting off the plane and just embracing people that had come to meet him at the airport, because it was so surreal to believe that it happened, especially since he just passed him Saturday night in the all-time scoring list.
Well, I wanted to get to these texts, but since we're on the subject, Nick, do you have the audio of LeBron? Do we have the good? This is amazing. ESPN ran this, and I don't know how much Nick captured, but some is better than none. Mm-hmm. But the post-game interview after LeBron passed Kobe on the scoring list was, and ESPN said it best, it almost sounds like a eulogy. The way that LeBron talks about Kobe throughout his career, it gives you chills when you hear it. Check this out.
When I was a kid, I was in high school, I was growing up through the ranks. When Kobe came into the league, he was, it wasn't a dream of mine to come straight, from high school at that point in time to the NBA. But I was like, wow, a 17-year-old, 18-year-old kid being able to make that leap, that's pretty damn cool. And as I started playing more ball and I went into high school, the things that he was doing on the floor I, admired and wanted to be a part of. I went to ABCD camp. And he came and talked to all the kids that was there, and I happened to be one of the kids that was there, and I was just listening. I was just trying to soak everything up I could, and I remember one thing that he said. He was like, if you want to try to be, great at it, or want to be one of the greats, you got to put the work in. There's no substitution to work, and I was a 15-year-old kid at that camp. You can actually find the footage of him at that camp. And in 2001, I believe I was playing in New Jersey, and the All-Star game, if I'm not mistaken, and y'all can correct me, was in Philly, right? Yeah, that Saturday, me and Maverick drove to the Intercontinental downtown Philadelphia, and he gave me a pair of his shoes, which I ended up wearing that following night. It was the red, white, and blue Kobe's. I was a 15, and he was a 14, and I wore him anyways. And I sat and just talked to him for a little bit. He gave me the shoes. I rocked them in the game. And it was the same night that we played Oak Hill against Melo. And then I saw what he was able to do the very next night, winning MVP here in Philly that following night. As I got drafted, I still just admired him, you know, seeing what he was able to accomplish, winning championships, having, you know, being early in his career where, you know, he learned from the misses that he had against the series against Utah, and he just used that as motivation and got better and better and better to him winning multiple championships, and continued to admire him throughout my high school rank. And then as competitors, just seeing the work ethic that he put into the game. He had zero flaws offensively, zero. You backed off of him, he could shoot the three. You pick, you know, you body him up a little bit, he can go around you. He can shoot the mid-range, he can post, he can make free throws. He had zero flaws offensively. And, you know, that's something that I admired as well, just being at a point where the defense will always be at bay, where they couldn't guard you at all offensively, where you just felt like you was just immortal offensively because of your skill set and your work ethic. We take it down to 2008 where we become the redeem team, and it was a dream come true for me to be able to line up alongside of him, just admiring him for so many years and him seeing him from afar and then being able to be in practices with him and you know, me watching and learning. So on. I mean, it's just too much. It's just too much. The story is just too much.
It's crazy.
He goes on to say, if you live your life right, and you handle your business the right way, the fact that he was going to pass Kobe Bryant on the scoring list in his hometown in a Lakers uniform, which he wore, he said, it's just surreal to me.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, and he basically made some references to, like, you know, a higher power had something to do with it. Then you take it a step further and say, and oh, by the way, one, the last tweet Kobe ever sends is congratulations to LeBron and for, you know, carrying on the torch. And then two, that he would die the next day.
Pretty crazy.
It just really is chilling,
eerie,
as you mentioned.
Eerie and chilling. And but I just felt like when I heard that interview, because you know me, I don't listen to a lot of post games.
Right.
It's all blah, blah, blah. That one, I was like, wow. Because they said, oh, it's literally like he was eulogizing him, having no idea what was going to happen and transpire in the next day or so to come. But I thought I wanted to play that because it really is a summary of
sure.
kind of the what Kobe Bryant meant to people, including the current best player on the planet.
And who Kobe Bryant was important too,
yeah.
Because no matter what you think of him, because I remember a year or two ago when we were all talking in a meeting and I was telling you guys, he took a helicopter at every home game and not a lot of people knew that. And everybody thought, well, that's just his way of flaunting his money. Like when T-Mac bought a plane, when you hear the audio of why he took a helicopter and the reasons behind it, it may change your opinion on a lot of things. So we'll have that coming up in hour number two. And again, if you want to share your thoughts, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call that number, text that number. Obviously, you can hit us on Twitter. This is the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink, go to culturemap.com.